Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship in the season of Epiphany on a beautiful day, considering all the weather we've had in the past. I welcome all of you, those who are present and those who are online as well. If you have not signed the guest register, I would ask you to do that again, please, so we can notice those who are visiting with us today. I'm going to ask Kyle, where are you, Kyle? Hey, come over and get a mic while he's doing that, to let you know that the Christmas concert CDs are now available down here in the lobby. So there's some laying on the table down there if you want to go and pick one of those up. John's had a set that he takes when he goes to visit. John's helping me today, so you get to see him this Sunday, that he takes to our homebound folks. Kyle, you're up.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everyone. It is the beginning of the month, so it is time for our monthly reveal of the Buildings and Grounds campaign. In fact, I know you guys have been really eager to see it since we missed last month because of the snow and ice. So we're going to do my monthly Vanna White. I know, I'll fix it at the end of service, Marty. Don't worry, I'll move it. So we are starting February at $17,732. So we have moved that thermometer up again. So let's give a big round of applause for that, everybody. This is very impressive. We haven't even hit the one-year mark. We are so close to $25,000. I can feel it. So just as a reminder, there are the envelopes in your bulletin this week, little white ones. If you are able or if you would like to donate to the Buildings and Grounds campaign, please place your offering for that campaign in those envelopes and then place them into the offering plate. We are collecting every week. We just like to do this monthly reminder to kind of show you guys where we're at and the progression we are making on that. Excuse me. The other thing I do want to note, next Sunday, the 9th, Super Bowl Sunday, as we know, it'll be the Chiefs and the Eagles again. I don't know if you're happy or sad about that. Some mixed feelings on it. But our church is going to have our second annual Super Bowl event. So we're first going to start with a canned food collection at the start of the service. So any canned soup, vegetables, fruits, whatever you have canned good-wise. We will be collecting. There will be baskets at each of the entrances next Sunday. And all those proceeds will go to Washington UCC to help their food pantry over there and all the wonderful work they do. Following worship, we're all going to meet in Fellowship Hall to have our little luncheon together. There will be different soups, sandwiches, desserts. We do ask that you RSVP, if you don't mind, to the event. We'll still have you if you forgot to put in your slip. But there are green slips in your bulletin to just write down if you're coming or not. And again, place those in the offering plate. If you would like to sign up to make a soup, a sandwich, or soup or dessert, there are sign-up sheets at both of the entrances up here by the thermometer and in the back on the podium. Just write your name and what you're bringing, and that'll help us determine how many more soups and all that we have to make. I know Carol and Julie are graciously helping out with this event to put on our luncheon, so we thank them for all the hard work they are doing with that. So we hope you can join us for that again next Sunday. And then my last announcement I have is for the Cincinnati Children's Valentine Day card service event. So again, if you are able, this is an online thing. Cincinnati Children's has a portal where you kind of put in your name, a message, pick out design, and it's kind of a virtual card that they will print out and give to the children over there. So you don't have to buy any cards or anything. It's all online. I do have a link for that on the website, on our homepage, as well as in our weekly email. So you are able to click on that link and then fill it out. And then I'll also be posting a link to our Facebook page later on this week as it gets closer to the day. So they will be doing that through Valentine's Day. So we hope you are able to help us out with that event. And if you need any help of learning what to do or how to get there, you can ask me. Kelly in the office, you can always call her. We'll be happy to help you and try to get you there to help out with that. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Kyle. The other announcement is just there's another sign-up sheet up here. It's for prayer partners for Lent that we're going to try to do. What that is, you'll sign up. I will designate and give you each a prayer partner who signs up. You don't know who's praying for you, and you will do that like a secret prayer partner for the season of Lent, and then at the end of Lent, we'll post that list over here out by the coffee machine of who was praying for who, so you know. It's just a discipline. All I do is cut your names up, put them in a basket, and draw. So you may get somebody that you know really well, and you may get somebody you don't know at all. And that's the whole point, is that we can pray for one another. And at the end, you talk to somebody and say, well, this is what was going on in my life. And maybe at that moment, that prayer was helping you to get through that time. Also, the pause for Lent will be starting. So if you can put that on your calendar on that, those Saturdays following Ash Wednesday and through Easter, that Lenten discipline that we're going to have. So please let folks know, or let Kelly know. Also, the year-end statements are available. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, please let the office know. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning. Thank you.
welcome this beautiful fourth Sunday of the Epiphany. As able, join with me in our call to worship and rise. We gather now to praise the Lord, but also to learn how we might better serve God.
We are here not for our sake,
but for our own, for the sake of those not here. God strengthens us in our journey and feeds us that we might grow into spiritual maturity. God sends us out to be with those who may not feel they belong. And we gather now to pray and to be taught to praise and to be equipped for service. Let us joyfully gather in the name of Christ, that we may be joyfully sent in Christ's name. Let us worship our God. Join with me as we offer our adoration and a confession as a community. For we cannot thank you enough, dear God, that through Jesus you have made us your children and heirs of heaven. You have united us to your own life by bringing us into the body of Christ, your church, and making us temples of the Holy Spirit. Allow us to recognize the dignity you have freely poured out on us, not through pride or boasting, but through humility that recognizes our full dependence on you to be successful in your work. Give us discerning and faithful hearts that we may hear you when you speak and have the courage to follow wherever you might lead. How often, Lord, have we failed to listen for your voice, or, having heard it, have chosen to ignore it so that we might choose our wills over your own. We repent that we so often have failed to seek your holy will and have not come when you call us to follow. Strengthen us to prefer your will always to our own. Give us wise discernment that we might recognize your words when you speak to us. Keep us safe from deception and walking in your holy ways. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news. God's love lasts forever. There is no place that it cannot reach. There is no age it cannot touch. God touches each one of our lives every day. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our first scripture comes from Psalm 71. Hear these words. To you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord. From my youth, from my birth, I have leaned upon you, my protector, since my mother's womb, my praise is continually of you. From the letters of Paul to the community at Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist upon its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And new faith, hope, and love remains these three, and the greatest of these is love. The words of our Lord.
Thank you to Michael Dobin in the choir and for Kendra for being here today as well to add to our music this morning. You'll notice there are no gospel lessons today because I decided that I wanted to preach off the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah. So my preaching text is from the Old Testament prophet of Jeremiah in the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. And in the rubrics, this is entitled His Call and Commission. So hear these words as Jeremiah writes them and speaks them. It is as if Jeremiah is speaking. And now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations, and then I said, Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak. I am only a boy. But the Lord says to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. May God bless this hearing, reading, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some years ago, there was a story about a man who took a walk in the wilderness by himself on a camping expedition. And camping alone can sometimes be dangerous. This particular trip was made more dangerous because there had been reports of an unknown stranger stalking in the woods. And because of that danger, some would have called this camping trip a foolish adventure. Others would have called it necessary. As I said, nothing was really known about this unidentified stranger out in the woods, but it was almost as if his presence was suspected rather than proved. In any event, what was believed was that anyone who dared to engage with this stranger in combat would surely lose. And the loss would not be ordinary. It would be altogether what Frederick Buchner entitled in his sermon, Magnificent Defeat. It would be a magnificent defeat. And yet, what made this solitary venture into the forest interesting is only that little more was known about the camper than of the stranger. So what can be said of the camper? Well, some called him an outlaw. Others called him a wronged man who had managed to survive by the effort of his own cunning. It was believed he was quite capable of killing another human being. The question was of motive. What was the motive? Would this solitary man kill out of malice or in self-defense? Was he a cold-blooded assassin or some kind of Nietzsche hero, a Superman who played by a rule of ethics quite different from how you and I might interpret life? A rule of ethics that was neither good nor evil, but somehow transcendent or otherworldly, maybe? What was known about this camper was he had stolen from his family. He had conned his brother out of a fairly large inheritance. It was said that if he had to, he would have killed his brother for that inheritance. As it turned out, he didn't have to kill him. He outsmarted him. So here's the scenario. You have a cunning, solitary man in the wilderness, pitted against a suspected stranger whose strength was said to be fearsome. About all we know is what happened late in the night. The camper's laying on the ground with his eyes closed. He'd been lying there several hours. Anyone would have assumed he was asleep. The solitary camper said he felt the presence of another in the camp, and a rather strange presence, not just near him, but somehow felt it was all around him, even in the deep part of his gut. In the most intense moment of this maddening inner turmoil, the camper opened his eyes just to grab the stranger as the stranger lunged onto him. The battle was fierce. There were no weapons. It was brute strength. Man against man, or is it man against demons, is not known. No one could be sure. The camper felt a blow to his head that he likened unto a hammer against his head. He could hardly remain conscious. He realized another blow could kill him, so he pulled the stranger close so that he could not get a full strength hit in to prevent that happening. They wrestled into the night. Finally, the stranger, by far the stranger of the two, he cried out, let me go. And the man, now so close to death that he no longer feared it, cried out, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? Asked the unknown stranger. My name is Jacob. And the stranger said to Jacob in the book of Genesis, and you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. You have striven with God and with humans, but you have prevailed. That's the call story from the book of Genesis about Jacob. And the sun rose on the man, and he limped out of the camp. That's why he had that limp from that time on. Out of all the call stories in Scripture, I sort of like that one the best, because I think it's fitting to any call story when someone is approached by God to do God's work. And that's what we have in this text today from Jeremiah. This is his call, and to do something for God. And whenever time I read this call from Jeremiah, I think it's similar. I didn't use the same verbiage, but we all have excuses. He says, well, God, I'm only a boy. I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to do? And then God says, you're going to do whatever I tell you to do. Whatever I command you is what you're going to do. Do not be afraid. I will always be with you, he says. And so, you know, when you interpret that, it seems like, well, there might be something, some peril maybe, that's going to have to be endured, from which he'll need to be delivered. And I think the first thing we need to understand about a call from God is that, at least that I can tell, I can talk from personal experience, is that God's call isn't always about a cheerful blessing or an easy task. It seems to be. I'm finding that I'm mentoring three people right now. And sometimes the one I've just been mentoring pretty extensively lately says, you know, this is hard work, Marty. I said, yeah. You think it's just me sitting up here yakking about whatever I want to talk about. It's not about that. You have to think about what we're doing. And it's not just Sunday morning. There's other aspects to being a pastor. But a genuine call from God brings trepidation, sometimes fear, sometimes pain. The pain that sometimes you're going to be defeated by God. And the unknown, the fear of what might happen. And then sometimes, like Jeremiah and Jacob, we engage in that struggle. We come out maybe limping a little bit, or maybe with a hurt ego. But for me, change always takes place when there is pain involved. You know, in my 40 years of ministry, I mean, people come up to me and say, well, you know all kinds of stuff about ministry. And I says, but 40 years of mistakes has got me where I am, not 40 years of doing good. It's the mistakes that make us grow. So in the church, sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, are we honest enough about that as a congregation? Yeah, when we see people out and about, do we tell them why we're here? You always hear me tell at the benediction to go out and share the good news with others. So do you tell them why you're here? Why is it? What brings you here? About following Jesus, part of the witnessing we do is to do that. What is the understanding of what this church brings to you? Is there a sense of authentic spirituality that happens? Is it a presence where God exists? Does it happen to you in a variety of ways? When do you feel that sense of the holy, where we encounter God in that moment? And sometimes we, to get to the light and to get to the enlightenment in the season of Epiphany, how do we get to that point where we understand that peace that passes all understanding, to use a phrase from Scripture? Sometimes you have to go through the little bit of a turmoil to get there. Sometimes we have to make a mistake. Sometimes we have to strive, is a word we use. So when I look at the call stories in Scripture, I see all of them had trepidation, all of them had reasons why not to, and they understand. But when they come to face with a living God, as we heard in the story, the one I just shared with you and the one I read, is that it is a scary place when you're face to face with God. And even in that love chapter that John read in 1 Corinthians 13, You know, there is that part where we don't see face to face, and then we do. You know? And it becomes a scary time. But it's also a trusted place. Tillich, who is a well-known theologian, and I had to read a bunch of his stuff back in the day, but he said, talked about our encounter with God. And he talked about it being frightening. And when I read it the first time, I didn't understand because I hadn't quite yet knelt down there and got ordained. But he writes, "We all desire to escape God, people of all kinds, prophets and reformers, saints and atheists, believers and unbelievers, have the same experience. And it's safe to say that a person who has never tried to flee God has never really experienced the God who is really God." I've always interpreted that, you know, part of my faith journey is raised as a preacher's kid in a parsonage right next door to the church. Literally, I can put my hands out and touch the church and the house. And then when I went away to college, all hell broke loose for a while. You try to find your way. And I think then you've come back to God in a different way. There is a little bit of fear about coming back. There is a little bit of understanding that you've lived life a little bit. I think part of it is when you come back to God in fear is because here is something or someone or somebody who really knows who I am. God is that personage that really knows who we are, not what I project to you or not how I try to present myself to the world. God is one who knows our hypocrisy. God who knows my fear. God knows my depression. God knows me as I truly am. God knows us like that. And God knows the good and evil, the honesty and the hypocrisy, the courage and the fear, the truth and the deception. And you go back to the text today, and God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God knows us. That's a scary thought. And so when I think about it, that God is that personage that knows me better than anybody in the world, better than my parents, my grandparents, my spouse, people I've known my entire life. That God knows me better than any of those individuals. And in some ways, that's humbling. Do we really understand that all the time? And I don't think we do, because we get all wrapped up, you know, in what we're doing. I spent 5 years of my life being a caretaker for someone else. Now I spend the last year and a half taking care of me. And sometimes we don't think about this other piece. And it's important to know that God is here. How does the Holy One interact in our lives? I think we need to be wrestling sometimes with what we believe, what we think. We have to wrestle with being accepted sometimes just the way we are, warts and all, unconditionally. And I think that's hard. People, you know, we think we need to be perfect and we need to be neat. I remember when I was at my church at Delhi, I had 8 people in confirmation class that year, young people. And of course, you have to go to everybody's house afterwards. You know, they all have a little reception for their child. And I went to Jackie and Glenn's house and I asked where the bathroom was, and I walked in and they had an open concept. There weren't any doors. I've never seen anybody roll towels and wash cloths like that except for somebody who's been in the service. You know what I'm saying? She was the neatest person I've ever seen, and I thought, I just care if there's a towel on the rail to dry my hands and a piece of toilet paper on the roll when I get done. You could eat off the sink. It was what she wanted us to see. She's changed someone in 30 years, I've known her, but we worry about what other people think. We worry about whether we have the confidence or the abilities or the skills to do what we do. And God has gifted us. You just have to find what that is, you know? Because God keeps saying, I knew you before you were born. I'm calling you because there is a reason I want you into the body of Christ. And so I think we all have a little bit of Jeremiah and Jacob in us. I think we wrestle a lot with who we are and what we are to be. We're longing for God. We're confused at times. We get tired at times about all this we need to do. But we push through it because at the end of the day, we know that we're going to be in the presence of God. And so as an individual and as a congregation, it's important that we understand that we do this together. And that when we look to what the future could be or may be as a congregation, there are some things we can do. Maybe they won't work. That's okay. You know, sometimes we have to try things to see, but we keep moving. What is the goal? You know, where is it that we want to be? We want to be in the presence of God. That's how I understand the church, that we gather to worship and to thank God for the week that has passed and prepare ourselves for the week that is to be. And yet also every day to be reminded that God is with us. So we want to be in that presence. How do we do that together? To share the good news with those around us. To let them know that God sees them as well as God sees us. God has known you, my friends. Not just today. But from the time you were born and before that. God has blessed us with God's love, care, and compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand and let us join together in singing our hymn number 393, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? If not, as always in the bulletin, there are all the prayer lists there, the birthdays and anniversaries, the homebound that we try to send to every week. The Northern Kentucky UCC churches are Grace UCC in Fort Wright, where Mark Roeder is pastor, and St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Alexandria, where Paul Forey is the pastor. Reverend Andrew Birkin is still in the hospital and still in the ICU or step-down unit, and they're gradually weaning him off, trying to wean him off the breathing machine. Things are slow. He's still in a semi-coma, but we would hope that things are going well. Michael gets the updates from the family, and he sends those on to me so that we can keep that at a minimum for them as well. Continue. Chuck, you still got surgery scheduled in a couple weeks? 18th, okay. And then to let you know that Barbara Coppage isn't home, I'm gonna have to text her Sunday when I get done here. This is Communion Sunday. For those of you who knew Barb, if there was one Sunday she wouldn't miss, that would be this one. And so I'm going to attempt to go over and see her and take her communion this afternoon. She's on hospice at home. That's not the death knell. Betty was on hospice for almost a year. So it's just a matter of keeping her comfortable. Laura Haas texted me because they weren't going to be here today, but she has two colleagues that she would want to have prayers for. One is Sharon, who's a wife, mother, and sister, and was recently diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. And then there's Kathy. She's a mom and a grandma, and recently diagnosed with cancer of her abdominal lining, and they both just started treatment. So she just asked if I could share those with you this morning. And I've got them on a postie, by the way, so for the prayer group, so it's all written down. There's always things that happen to each one of us individually in the world, and all the things that are going on with the different countries and situations without the world, natural disasters, things among countries. So we continue to pray for all of those as well. So let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows the Spirit to move among us as we prepare to come before God. So let us do a little centering as we do that. Going to take time and pause and ask you to take a deep breath and let it out. And breathe in, God. And then breathe out. Breathe in, God. And breathe out. And breathe in. Almighty God, you are the conceiver, the comforter, and the deliverer of all that lives and moves and has being. And we will always gather continually to praise you for your presence in our lives. You have conceived people who call you beloved. And as we hear in Scripture, you brought them from bondage, gave them a name, comforted them with the seal of your promised covenant. You nurtured them to have hope and to trust in your will. And then you sent Jesus Christ to deliver your people, and by your Spirit gave birth to the body we call the church. We feel the breath of your Spirit upon us and within us and around us, touching us in ways that we cannot fully understand. But you strengthen and you encourage and you impel us to be faithful people of God. So we thank you for the lives that you've given us, for the inheritance of your love that is always here. Allow us to continue to grow into a maturity in Christ, an understanding of how you may touch us in special ways. So continue to be with us, God, when we hesitate or when we make decision. Be with us as we stand firm in the understanding that you will not forsake us. We have come as faithful people, and hope born of faith will sustain us when the journey becomes hard. And through doubt, you may cause us to stumble, but do not allow us to despair. And give us the Spirit of your power when our knees are shaking. Reassure us by the comforting presence that you offer to us each and every moment of every day. And so as we remember all these situations and individuals we have raised this morning, O God, we ask that the love of Christ that we seek to imitate may be reflected to them, that they may know the presence of your Spirit in special ways, that they may also be reaching out to us and thanking us in prayer, and we are thankful for that. But most of all, we thank you for the gift, the presence of your Son, Jesus, this comes into our lives and taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What offering can we bring to God? All our wealth is not enough to express our praise. How shall we share in tasks beyond our ability to accomplish, yet God chooses us and our gifts to make a difference in the world? God employs our weakness to shame the strong. God prospers our work and witness, transforming the world, beginning with us. Let us share in the joy of giving. May the ushers come forth.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. We dedicate these gifts and ourselves to you, generous God. They represent who we are, what we have, and what we do. As we offer them to you, we also thank you for the great gifts you have given us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. May our gifts be used in your service, and may the gifts you give to us inspire us to be ever faithful in your service. Make us aware of your sacred presence in our lives, and give us the grace to hear your voice and answer its call. Amen. Seated, let us join together in the affirmation of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Friends, it is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide wise men to where the Christ was born, and in your signs and your witnesses in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, and said to his disciples, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat. This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ that we might have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. My friends, take and drink. I would invite those who are able to please stand to join together in our prayer of thanksgiving and stay standing for our closing hymn and benediction. Together we offer to God. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence. In the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal, unite us with all who are fed by Christ's body and blood, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your universal church may be a beacon of hope in an uncertain world, through Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Amen. Before I give the benediction, I need to remind us too that Ralph and Carol are holding down the back corner on this side over here. They haven't been back together for a while. We're glad they're both here today. And Jim over here, so we're glad they're back. They have, you know, those of us with walkers are going to have a walker race one day. And we'll all meet in Fellowship Hall after church and we'll see what we can do. Today we were challenged to remind us that we are known by God from the very beginning of our life and in our mother's wombs. And somehow God comes to us then, maybe through our baptism, somehow in our lives. But God comes to us and calls us and says, I want you to speak for me. And so that's our role as Christians, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who need to hear it. Continue to be present in other people's lives. Bring them with you to church if they're able. If not, just let them know that you care and love for them. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.